Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here, around the world on Clear Channel and the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Great, gorgeous day across the great state of Tennessee. And we hope that you're feeling good wherever that you're at, whether you are listening to us on 3.185 on the shortwave radio, or whether you're downloading us on your internet streaming or your micro rebroadcasting systems around the world with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. We got a great program. I want you to call a friend, a neighbor, and tell them that we've got some great information. Now, it might be the type of information that could make you a little bit angry. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to stir up your pure mind, to provoke you to study and to approve yourself. And the Bible said to study the Scriptures, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know that the Messiah warned us of the translators, the scribes? That's what a scribe was. He was a translator. He would copy, and then if he would change it to another language, he would translate the word or from one language, and he would transliterate the names. Now, when I say they transliterated the name, that means that, like Gorbachev in Russia, come to America, his name would still be Gorbachev. So it don't change, you see, sound for sound from Russian to English or vice versa. And but they made an exception for some strange, curious reason. They took our father's name, the original, I'm talking about the Hebrew name of our Creator, 6,823 times alone in the old parchment, where you see L-O-R-D, capital letters. When you see that, you know that they've translated out the Y-H-W-H. Now, in Greek, that is a tetragrammaton. And we know from early manuscripts of the New Testament that the name Jesus that they put in was not the name of the Messiah. Now, you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, why do you keep bringing that up? Well, because we want you, above all things, to be in good health and prosper, but we also want your soul to prosper. Now, your soul cannot prosper unless you have the proper name to call on. If you go to John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 43, the Son that came, the Messiah, now I'm talking about, he said that he came in his Father's name. Now, if you can establish what the Father's name is, then the Son came in the same name, called by the same name, according to John 5:43. So then, if that's true, then the Father and the Son had the same name, because actually, in reality, they were the same person. See, God is a spirit. He's not a person. Now, you got to get that in your mind, because in John 4, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, you'll find it says that God, Elohim in the Hebrew, is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if he is a spirit, then you have to worship him in the spirit. And the spirit said in John 5:43 that the Father had a name and that the Son came in it. Now, first of all, if you look at Matthew 28:19, when it says to go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost, it didn't say names. It said singular. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the name of the Father? because the son said he had the same name. Now you see what we're trying to get to you tonight. We're basically trying to be honest with you, and we fear for your soul if you call on a false pagan name, although you might grow to love it. And many people have grown to love the name Jesus, just like I did for 30 years as I worshiped in the name of Jesus. But all concordances and dictionaries list the name Jesus to be a Greek version of Joshua. And that is Yeshua, or Yeshua, in Hebrew. Now, it's hard for us to understand why that they would give us a false name, and why that they would always try to keep the true name covered up. Well, it's a combination of conspiracies. In other words, the Greeks despised Yahweh, and the Jews were so tediously envious and jealous of the name Yahweh that they refused to use it or speak it in public. And therefore, as it's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, it says that these priests, these preachers, you would say preachers today, and that's what they are, and they're still doing the same thing, that they would cause his people, now this is Yahweh talking to his people, they would cause my people to forget my name for Baal. Well, now, let's look at Baal. Remember when I said Lord, L-O-R-D? Well, Baal is a four-letter word. B-A-A-L. Baal. Baal means Lord in your concordance, if you look it up. But if, when you look up Yahweh, it don't take it to Lord. It takes you back to the original creator in a modified version of the contraction of the word Yah, Y-A-H-H, which is Y-H-W-H, because they use the same vowel point Strong's did, because he favored Jehovah. Well, we know for a fact that Jehovah is erroneous according to the King James New Open Bible. Just get you a version of that, and they will acknowledge that they put Jehovah in there erroneously. They shouldn't have put it in. And I'm just going by what the Bible says here in the King James Version. And that's all I read out of, and that's all I teach out of, is the King James Version. When I use or substitute, when I say Lord and God and all of these pagan titles, I change it to the original Hebrew name of Yahweh. And Elohim, hell. So, if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, they use the abbreviations acrostic for a sentence or a phrase. An acrostic is a series of lines, usually the first line in each, to form a name or a message. Example are 24/7 being 24 hours, 7 days a week, or NASA, National Aeronautic and Space Administration. The acrostic for the curse would be SH-W. Hebrew had no vowels, so they are implied when pronouncing the word, and the outcome is Yeshua, or remember Jeshua. Though the true believers were not afraid to use the name of Yahweh when speaking of the Messiah, the rest of Israel appeared to use this substitute, Yeshua, in keeping with the law, but not referring to the man claiming to be Yahweh. They helped to blot out his name and cause you to forget it, like I said. And the scribes, as was required by the law, changed the name in secular and sacred writings so that no account in history remained, and this would imply that the man Yahweh, the Messiah. Because remember, there was no J in our alphabet until after the 1600s, and all you have to do is go to the Webster Dictionary and some of the encyclopedias to prove that during the time that they wrote the original King James Bible, which does not, by the way, contain the name J-E-S-U-S. He said, well, now, I've got a King James Bible, and I read Jesus in it, Pastor Buddy. You didn't catch what I said. I said the original, not the one that you've got that when you... I've had people to argue me in church, and then I'd ask them what they were reading, and they said, I'm reading out the King James Bible. I said, does it say revised? And they said, they turn it over to the side, and they look at it, and it says revised version. If you're reading out a revised version, you're not reading out the original 1611. You're reading out something that's been changed or altered. And yet they say that's the God's Word, and it's just like he wrote it. It's not. Because the original 1611 did not. I'm going to repeat, because there was no J's. So they couldn't have wrote Jesus in the original King James Bible. It's not in there. And we offer a $5,000 reward for anyone that can read the name Jesus in the original King James Bible. So why call upon a name it wasn't in there? Now, you may love it and appreciate it now simply because it's been added to the original text. Now, if you really want to know, the letter J did not exist until the mid-1600s. Matter of fact, it wasn't in print till 1702. It's derived, let me show you how it's derived now, the letter J. It's derived from the Greek I and the Hebrew Y. In other words, they used the I of the Greek to substitute for the Hebrew Y, but it had the same sound. Remember, sound for sound, names are transliterated, not translated. If they were translated, that means that you wouldn't recognize sound for sound John in English, let's say, and go to Russia and say John, and they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. But if you transliterate it as John in English into Russian, then in Russian you will use the word John. John Kennedy went to Russia, let's say, and his name in Russia would be John Kennedy. You may not understand one word of English or Russian, but when they came to speak in the name of John Kennedy, they would speak it out exactly, sound for sound, as you would do it. And that means transliteration, and that's what we're talking about. But did you know that the I, which was a substitute for the Hebrew Y, was then they put a curve. Later on, they started curving the I to make a J, our English J. It's the 26th letter in the English alphabet that's been added to it. So that's how they influenced the name to change it. Now, let me give you Yahweh in Greek. Now, we know, now listen to this very carefully, we know that upon the torture stake, that Pilate wrote the name of the title of the man that they crucified, the one he interrogated, the one he talked with, and he asked him what was truth, and of course the Messiah didn't open his mouth and didn't tell him anything, and yet when he wrote something, the Jews tried to get him to take it down. And he said, no, sir, it's going to stay right up there as I have written it. And he wrote whatever this man said who he was. He wrote it in three languages. He wrote it in Hebrew, he wrote it in Latin, and he wrote it in Greek. Now, let me give you the Greek version. The Greek version of the name of Yahweh is I-E-U-E. In Hebrew, it's Y-H-W-H. In Latin, it's Y-H-V-H. Okay, now that's giving you the Hebrew, the Latin, and the Greek. Now, he didn't write Jesus up there, as most Christian churches believe that that's what Pilate wrote up there. Pilate had never heard of Jesus. It's an invention that only came about less than 300 or 400 years ago. And so Pilate didn't write Jesus up there, as you see in the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion. It's not up there. Now, once we tell you this, and it upsets you, then what you're going to have to know that the Babylonian religion brought in you know, some deception also. So we're going to talk about Babylon. That's what we're talking about, pagan gods. In Latin manuscripts of the 4th centuries, there was a letters that were applied and retained for the messianic name, and it was IHS. Medieval Latin texts from 700 to 1500 AD have commonly incorporated the IHS for Jesus, or now modern Jesus. Now notice that the name Jesus is the only name using a J sound that starts with a G sound. Jesus don't start with a J sound, but Joshua does, which is a derivative of Yeshua. Yeshua. In the Hebrew, but we say it as Joshua in English. You see that? So why don't Jesus start with a J sound? Why did they have to give it a G sound? Because they had to twist the I, because it originally wasn't in their vocabulary to say Zeus. Or Jesus, but they had to come up with something of significance of the IHS, which is in hoc signo, which means in this sign conquer. That's what Constantine said he seen in a vision. So Mr. Constantine the king, who detested Yahweh, told the writers and the historians who themselves were worshipers of Zeus. They worshiped the god Zeus. And in doing so, they brought the name, the monogram, IHS, into the Christian church and gave us this Jesus, and changed the name of our creator, Yahweh, to the Jesus, because it had similar spelling to the Greek rendering of Yahweh, which was I-E-U-E. And so they started out with their god, Jesus. It was I-E-S-U-O-S, Jesus. Now, we told you that Jesus was a form of a Babylonian god named Talmus. Now, let's go back here into the Babylonian religion for just a moment, and we also know that he was known as Bacchus, but under the name of Talmus that I read to you in Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 14. This is where they grasped onto the ideal to substitute the name Yahweh and remove it completely by introducing the name of Talmus in Greek, which was I-E-S-O-U-S, just like they did Istar to Ishtar. They took the word Ishtar and in a Latin form and put it and subjected it into the scriptures and brought Ishtar, the goddess, into the worship system of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. With the IHS, meaning in this sign, conquer, they're not conquering in the name of Yahweh. The Christian church has missed it, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, well, why didn't somebody come along before you and tell us all about this? I don't know. I have no idea. Because the name of Yahweh has been around long before Jesus. They have dug up the name Yahweh. Matter of fact, you can read it in the Hebrew Bible in its original language. You can read in the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can read it on the stones. And the Bible said, if these hold their pieces of stones, to cry out. Not Jesus has not one time been found and authenticated that it went back to the time of Moses, chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 14 and 15, when he got the name of the original Savior or Creator. That name was given as YHWH, the Tetragrammaton. That's the name that Moses took back and gave to them. Now, if you look at the Hebrew and Latin Jonah version of 1668 of the Gospel according to Luke. This book in the Hebrew section reveals the Tetragrammaton in its original place instead of the pagan name Jesus. In chapter 2, verse 21, the Tetragrammaton also appears in its rightful place instead of Lord multiple times. So then, you see, ladies and gentlemen, and even in the Greek Septuagint, not the modern versions, it's been changed and altered, they put Lord back in. But in the original, before even the Septuagint that was written, copied from the Hebrew, into Greek, it retained the full Tetragrammaton of Yahweh in the original Septuagint. And you would do well to have a Greek version of the Old Testament because you'll see the name of Yahweh in there. But notice this. If you look in recent years, scholars have claimed that Matthew's gospel account was at first written in Hebrew. It is contended that Matthew and the early Christians produced this account to become the last book of the canon of the Hebrew scriptures, as the Greek scriptures had not yet been completed. There is evidence that various recensions of the Hebrew and Aramaic versions of Matthew's account persisted for centuries among the early Christian communities of Palestine and Syria, and early writers such as Papias and Justin Martyr and Titian and Patalium and Clement of Alexander and Apophius and Jerome and many others give evidence that they possessed or had access to the Hebrew and Aramaic writings of Matthew. Jerome of the 4th century said that he personally saw the volume and copied from it, which was allowed by the Nazarenes in the Syrian city of Berea, and that the manuscript was preserved in the library at Caesarea, where the martyr of Pompeius diligently collected, and he goes on to state that it contained the divine name after the manner of the Hebrew and not the Latin version of the LXX, which is the preferred version of the Catholic Church. Furthermore, in the Jonah version mentioned earlier, the Latin section gives the word Dominia in the place Yahweh originally was and later read Lord. It is more than interesting to note that Dominia is from Dominio, meaning the mask or to cover up. And that's what we're talking about. The term used as A.D., Anno Domini, would read Year of the Mask instead of the Year of Our Lord. The Year of the Mask. In other words, that's the year that they changed it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, the root word or prefix for homo from Greek means the same or like. Thus, the phrase Jesus is like or the same as the Savior of men. There is the mask of a Talmud that was placed upon the scriptures so that they could deceive the very elect, if possible. Did you know that the Bible would tell you that there is a name in Revelations 13 and 1? It is recorded that there is a name of blasphemy that Satan and Satan's agents are the translators that put the mask and changed the name from Yahweh in the original scriptures over to the Latin version of Jesus, or Iesus at that time. It became Jesus later on, after 1702, it became Jesus. And like I say, it doesn't even have a J sound. It's the only letter that, or name that starts with a J in the English language that begins with a Jesus. And that's exactly what they intended as they put the mask of Talmud over the name of Yahweh to imply or to use a substitute of Zeus. They wanted Zeus. They preferred Zeus. They worship Zeus. They love Zeus. They believe. Now, I'm talking about the Roman church. The original Roman church. and the Roman Empire and the Roman Kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, Constantine worshipped Zeus. And he said in defiance of the name Yahweh that he would not use the despised Hebrew. They looked down on the little Hebrew people. They despised the Hebrew people. They literally despised them and would not. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they would not. They would not use it for the reason that I'm telling you, and that is because they wanted the name of Yahweh to be removed from scriptures, and then they used the name of Jesus or Talmuz. Remember Ezekiel 8:14. And that's exactly what Yahweh warned about in Jeremiah 23, verse 25 and 26, that they would come in, as he said, beware of the scribes, and that's what they'd done. Now, let's come to America for just a moment. Let me bring you into America as I hurry, moving on in the last part of our message tonight. I want to tell you something about the enslaved pagan symbols that was brought over here by a large majority of the same church people who adopted a secret order, the Jesuits. Now, what they done, they helped form the Masonic order. And by forming this secret Masonic order, these men, these leaders of our nation, they were originally Masons. George Washington, as great as he was, as bold as he was. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that every revolution has been violent, and an American Revolution is no exception, and that great men rose up to lead the revolution? But what did they lead us into? Well, let's get into that just a moment. There was a man named L. Enfant. He was a French designer, and he was a Mason. And he was the original planner when these men sat down to plan Washington, D.C. Now, I'm going to show you how that they have incorporated the mask of Talmuz, or the pagan gods of the past, and overshadowed, a mask it, if you will, a revolution into a trap. Most people, now you're beginning to know you're not free. You never was free. We were enslaved from the word go. We didn't win our independence from the Queen. We still pay tribute to the Queen. I don't know whether you know that or not. But there is something that you need to know about the deceit that's going on right now that went on hundreds of years ago to give us a false god. And what we have done here, according to Revelation 13:1, we've worshipped the Luciferian name that they chose by masking removing the true name and masking the false name into a name that people could grow to love. Now, notice this. Now, remember that L. Enfant was a French designer, and he built the city from scratch. Every street, circle, and squares, intricate, designed, contains numerous Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylon. Right there it is. Babylonian symbols and images of Satan. I'm going to prove it to you. Major points of light, circles and squares, and especially the goat head of the Capitol and the White House. If you look at Washington, D.C., it's a 10-mile square, and it's laid out to enslave. And ladies and gentlemen, our Congress and Senate have virtually enslaved the whole nation. And now it's becoming evident there's something wrong and rotten in Washington, D.C. And the thing that's rotten is that from the word go, they had us from the word go, ladies and gentlemen. We were had from the word go. Now, why were we had from the word go? Because we didn't know, as they designed these major points and circles and squares and the goat head of the Capitol and the White House. Now, do you want to worship a goat head? You know what that's a symbol of? It's a symbol of light and luciferic, satanic influence. And from the White House, I don't care who sits in there, good men have sat in there. But see, good has nothing to do about this. Right is the, and these very wise men who designed this course and brought in the thousands and thousands of established celestial measurements of the sun, the moon, and the star charts, and the thousands of Masonic worshipers working on these things have since added multi-layered features and figures of gods and goddesses and sexual rituals and abominable things, numerous animals, cults associated with the ancient history of Rome. There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Remember what they've done to you in Rome, the Roman province that brought in Christianity. Or at least they claim that they started Christianity, but that's not true. The apostolic fathers were not Romans. They were Hebrews, and they preached the Hebrew God. That's why that they were beat up in Jerusalem, because the Jews, mistakenly and very foolishly, had been taught and trained that anybody that spoke the name of Yahweh, they weren't speaking the name of Jesus. The Jews could care less. They still don't care less if you speak the name of Jesus. Just ask one. He'll tell you that the name of Jesus is a fabrication, and he'll laugh at you. He's smarter than you are. He knows the truth. And in all the time, he'll hide the name of Yahweh from you, because that is part of the plan to deceive the very elect. Now, let's go from Revelation 13:1, which identifies the name of blasphemy. Now, it's a name that would be grown to be loved, and the whole world would call upon it. Well, I don't have to tell you what that name is in Christianity. They use it in the New Testament exclusively. And I just heard a program earlier this evening, and they said, "And Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus says, Hallelujah." Ladies and gentlemen, when they say that, they're ignorantly calling and giving glory to a false god, and then, in reality, praising the true one, Yahweh. Hallelujah. The short poetic form of Yah and Hallelujah means, Hallelujah means praise ye Yahweh. And when they say Hallelujah, and they, it's not fair. They shouldn't do it. But they do it out of habit. They do it out of tradition, but by using the name Hallelujah, they justifiably use the name of the Creator, but then they give the praise to another God. And our Creator, Yahweh, said, "I don't know no other gods." You see what I'm talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, if you read Isaiah 46, verse 6, and then compare it with Revelation 1:17, you'll see that both of these figures that speak as the first and the last, the great and the mighty God, are the same one. That Messiah of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament, who came and died for you in a flesh body and rose it up the third day, and there he possesses the Godhead within him, according to Colossians 2:8. And, of course, Colossians 1:15 through the 19th verse. Well, then, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or in the beginning was the Logos, in the original scriptures of the Greek. Well, if you go back to the original Hebrew, in the beginning was Yahweh, and his name was Yahweh. And Yahweh came into the world, and Yahweh was not known. He wasn't received. He was rejected. They brought in another God by masking over this great name. They put a mask on Calmus, Iesus, and brought out Iesus, and that's how that we are worshiping today falsely and giving glory to a strange God. Now, the original 10-mile area of Washington is a reverse image of Alexander and Cairo, Egypt, on the Nile River. That's where they adopted this, and it came right out of the goat head with the two horns within a circle symbolizing the sun. There it is. Remember I told you the sunburst that is in the hand of the Pope? This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is our nation, where we send all of our monies and all we send all of our effort and our wealth. It all goes to Washington, and it all goes overseas to the Rothschild Foundation in London, and the Queen bows to Rothschild, and that is the official goat of the world. And he's done on record as saying, I care not who makes the laws in any nation as long as I have the wealth or the money. And that's the way that they've operated. Now, notice this now. This is something very... In Alexander, Virginia is the south corner. Now remember that. Alexandria, Virginia is the south corner. The Capitol building is designed in a goat head with two horns within a circle, as I said, symbolizing the sun. The original documented 600 lot number series falls directly through the Capitol building lot. The Capitol Square is lot 666. Now, let me repeat that. You say, well, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, if you only knew what it meant. To enslave you, to put a curse upon you. Read Deuteronomy chapter 27. We can break these spells and these curses that they've put upon us by following the recipe of the Old Testament. We have designed a sacred circle to break the spell and the curses that they've invoked upon us in lot 666. It runs directly through the Capitol building. That's where they make the laws. And notice they have assaulted and changed or altered or amended the Constitution now to where we incorporate everything that was not meant to be incorporated, because at the time it was written, it was a pretty sound document. But it was written for a people that feared the Creator and that worshiped the Creator, irregardless of who they called Him. And we were warned against letting a particular people come in here by some of the originals or some of the origination of the production of the Constitution, which, by the way, most of them did not sign because they knew it had been altered and that we were in a documented lot number of 600 series, and it falls directly through the Capitol building, which becomes the Capitol Square, which is lot 666. Now, the square contains the temple of Isis. Now, did you know that? And at least 60 major and minor images of her are scattered throughout Washington. She is shown as the sacred mother of the earth, the queen of Egypt, the goddess of the earth and the universe, mother with child. Some of these images are over 6 miles long. Where her temple stands, progress for our race is boldly carved above the U.S. Justice Department. The lady in scales, ISIS, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get none of Yahweh's laws. Do you think a federal judge is to now pay any attention to Yahweh's Ten Commandments? I wouldn't think so. You can't even say the name of Yahweh. They hate the name of Yahweh. They despise the name of Yahweh. They cast out the name of Yahweh. And yet, in a pretense, they themselves say they go to church, like Mr. Obama. He goes over to a Christian church that calls on Jesus. And they all know it's false. That's why they don't mind to go into a false temple, because they themselves are false. They're worshipers of Satan, and Satan is the one that gave us these plots. And the original Washington, D.C. area contains a 600-acre plot that was named Rome. The northern corner lot had a mirror image stone which arch dedicated to the one located in Rome, Eagle Park Island. Lady Bird, Park today, was designed in the shape of an eagle's eye entering Arlington Cemetery and overlooking Washington. It was first owned by the Masons before Washington, D.C. was ever designed, and was called Mason Island and Mason's Lucifer Island. Throughout history, the son of Zeus, the eagle god Jesus, has been the standard of many nations, such as Greece, Rome, Germany, and now the United States of America. The prince of the power of the air is hovering over Washington, D.C., and we call it a holy place. And Yahweh knew it was an abomination placed there long ago. How long will he suffer it? Until this false religion and her harlots as put down by the great coming. It will stand until Yahweh says Babylon will fall. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Babylon. Babylon is Lot documented. Number 666. U.S. Capitol Building, established the ancient city of Washington, which was Washugani, and the daughter of Egypt, and a mirror image of Alexandra, and Alexander, that's the reason that Virginia got the name Alexandra, and I have some friends that lives there, and they say, buddy, you won't believe what goes on here in this area. Oh, yes, I would, because in 1993, they've mapped it out, and you can actually see Satan's skull designed with his horns on the original Masonic shot map of Washington, D.C. from the library. Now, if I tell you the truth, and I shock you about this pagan name of Jesus, and I make you mad about it, because you love it so much and you worship it. That's what they designed it for you to do. I would dare you to look at the Masonic, satanic design of the goat head and other structures, and we'll get into those in just a moment. But if you follow Yahweh, the Almighty Yahweh, not Baal Lord, not Jesus, but Yahweh, call upon his name from the foundation. Not another name given. Try Yahweh. Just his breath. Just breathing in the Neshamaya. The breath. Bring it in and then exhale. You can say the name of Yahweh in your diaphragm as it fills up with the oxygen, and it ignites the fire of your understanding by just listening to yourself breathe. Did you know in Psalms 46 and 10, he said to be still and know that I am Yahweh? We think we're here for the speaking. We'll cry out the false name, just like it was in the book of 1 Kings, Chapter 18, when they called on the name of Baal and Elijah, Elijah, when he came and opposed the Baal worshippers, B-A-A-L, and commanded them with a challenge. And of course we know what happened, that all of the people said after the fire fell down and lapped up all of the water out of the 12 barrels, which represented the 12 tribes, in a circle of 12 stones. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Elijah repaired the ark or the altar round about and restored it, meaning it was a circle. And he placed 12 stones in a circle, and there he dug a trench around it and filled it with 12 barrels of water, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel, and then the fire came. Ladies and gentlemen, if we will design these altars and come back and pray for the curse of the Edomite satanic worshipers to be broken, and we'll no longer be servants to them, and Babylon will fall. But until we return to Yahweh, until we call upon the name of Yahweh, which the Bible says is a strong tower. Now, in the White House, they have the temple of Jesus, I-E-S-U-S, Jesus. They have the Tower of Babel, which is over the World Trade. And they have the U.S. Capitol of Satan 666. All of it in our flag contains the Pythagore God stars, five-sided, and the all-seeing eye of Horus, Satan, and it can be found above the pyramid on our dollar along with the eagle god, and you will find many such satanic emblems or phalluses of Nimrod and the obelisk of Washington Monument and throughout Washington, D.C., as well as on our currency. And who will you serve? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I choose to serve the ever-living Elohim, not Baal, not Lord, not Isis, not Jesus, and not Jesus. I serve Yahweh and Him only. Jacob served Him, Moses served Him, David served Him, and they called on His name. Just read Psalm 68:4. If you want to know what David, who David called on, you'll see it's been changed in the King James to J-A-H. But remember, there was no J, and that would have been an I in the Greek, but it would have been a Y in the Hebrew. So put the proper name in there. I will call upon Yah. Hallelujah. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him when the sun goes down, because He is alone and stands by Himself. He knows no other God. But if you look on the Washington, D.C. map of the Senate document 332 in the 71st Congress and the 3rd session, and you'll see here in the history of Washington, D.C., 1931 to 32, you will actually see the symbol of the Masonic layout of Washington, D.C., and you will note all of the pagan symbols that they use. Now, what's in a name? And I know that you want to chastise me because did I tell you the truth. I know that you want to speak evil of them. I know that this sounds very, you know, it just goes against the grain of your teaching and your molding. They've molded you into the greatest deception that I can see ever laid upon man is the lie about our Savior's name. It's the greatest. So that's why that I want to get the truth out to as many people as I can. The translators left out our great God, Elohim, name of Yahweh, over 6,000 times. They changed the name to Jesus, comes from the Greek Isis, a name that dates 1000 B.C., representing the son of Zeus and the heir Babylonian eagle god of pagan days. Jesus, he's the son of Zeus. And this was very popular with a German Celtic god. And in Acts 4:11 and 12, neither is there salvation any other. Remember the name, if it would have been left in there, as they have wrongly put in the name Jesus, but if it had been left in there, there's none other name given because there's salvation on other name. If you go to Isaiah 12:2, you'll see what that name is, and it's not Lord. If you put the Hebrew name in there of the Old Testament in Isaiah 12:2, or if you would like to go over to Isaiah 26:4, you'll see that the name of salvation is Yahweh. Well, neither is our salvation any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men where we can be saved. Now, how do you count that I could be wrong about the Savior's name when Matthew 24:24 says, listen to this now, here's what it says, for false Christ, now the false anointed or the false name will come and arise, and false prophets will honor that and will show great signs and wonders so that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And that's why that my message is so important for you to even consider and to study on, whether you agree. And if I make you mad, get mad enough to study. Get mad enough to ask the questions and search this out and see if I'm not telling you the truth. For false Christ will rise, and false prophets will show great signs and wonders so that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. They're even going to tell you that their Messiah, Jesus, is going to come to Jerusalem and sit in that temple over there. And they're going to build him one. And the whole world will agree. And once they get that done, and ladies and gentlemen, they've already built a false temple. This is the Rothschild Temple in Jerusalem. If you want to see the pagan customs and the Masonic symbols that they put in there, which is to enslave and capture the people over there, just like they've done here in America and just like they've done in France. Did you know that France donated the Statue of Liberty and that it's the pagan sign of the god Isis? When she holds her torch alive up and lights up the sky, and we all admire the Statue of Liberty. They call the Statue of Liberty to what? Liberty to serve the god Isis, or to serve these false Luciferian gods that they've given us, and not many people will ever find the name of Yahweh. J is incorrect, ladies and gentlemen. J is absolutely incorrect, and I've got to close because my time is soon coming on. So I've got to wrap this up here as I tell you about the name, the letter J. The letter J was introduced, as I said, in 1702 in France. Now, in the late 1600s, they started curving the I, which was a substitute for the Hebrew Y, and the I was the Greek. So when English came in, they gave us the incorrect spelling of I-E-S-U-S, or E-S-U-S, Jesus. And the Catholics, the Romans, they told you how to pronounce it. And they're still doing it today, ladies and gentlemen. It's no big deal. Hey, Zeus. Have you ever watched those that's coming across the border, and most of them are named Jesus? And you look at their name, and it says, and Jesus came across the border today. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. It's pronounced Jesus in Spanish. And what do you think of the Latin? That's the derivative of where the Spanish got their derivative from the Latin. And that's how that Jesus came into being. Now it's called Jesus in our English. We call it Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, it's so deceptive. And I pray for your understanding. I pray for you. I pray this prayer before I leave the air tonight, that Yahweh would provoke you to study. Study to show yourself approved. Rightly divided into truth. The prince of the power of air. Ephesians chapter 2 and 2. If you look at Bacchus, the son of the sun, Dionysius, Isis, Jesus, Jesus, the eagle, the son of the sun, Zeus, also known as Bacchus. And so it goes on and on, and these are the major gods that have been given to us to worship, Zeus. And we call on that name every day here in America, every Sunday especially. Christians will go out and call on the name of Jesus. And if you slow it down and use the phonics, you'll understand that there is a pagan ring to that name. You better watch it. You better take warning, because Yahweh's coming back for a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. Now listen, we're going to be in Passover, and I need to start announcing it for you, and I will. We're going to be in Murphy, North Carolina, starting the 8th of May. That's coming up real soon. For the second Passover, we'll start on the 8th, and we'll go through the 17th. So make your plans to be there if you can and attend, and you'll hear more teaching like this, and you'll see some of the deception of these super cults that have come in as God, changed the name and the major symbols of the eagle god in Isaiah 37:38. The word God, G-A-W-D, is today worshipped as G-O-D, and if you turn it around in Hebrew, it's dog. So, you see the dog star, Cyrus and Cyrus B that I preached about, and they give you Zeus, Deus, Theos, Wooden, and these names are derived from Lucifer, the bright and the morning star. And he loves to be worshipped, and he's done it through deceit, and this is the mask of Talmuz. You've got my message tonight. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172, or you can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you, ladies and gentlemen, on down the line with the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower. And the Bible, of course, says that the righteous run into it and they are safe. Now, I'll see you Monday night, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Worldwide WWRB 3.185, live every Monday night. Pastor Buddy with the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you. We'll begin a brand new series at that time, and you join us on Monday night, and may Yahweh take a liking to you, and I love you very much. Good night.